This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Do you believe this is a multi-year process, though, to get back to a playoff-caliber team, or can that happen in 2025?
There's no question it can happen in 2025. It depends on how hard we're willing to work and how much we're willing to sacrifice, though.
Make a sacrifice. Do what you got to do. I don't know. It's hard. 5-12, L10. I'd love it if the Bears pull off that NFL trick where they go oppo this year. That would be fantastic. Welcome into the program. I am Mark Grody. I am here with you until one more hour to go only here on The Score. We're just getting cooking. Got a bunch of people who want to talk about the Bears. We're going to get to you guys here in a second. I was out at Halas Hall all day today for the introductory press conference of Ben Johnson. Talked to a bunch of other people. George McCaskey giving his time along with Kevin Warren and Caleb Williams. I mean, it was appreciated. It was appreciated that everybody was speaking. Ryan Poles, of course, and Ben Johnson did well. I'll just say that. I mean, he handled everything well. All the places that they were carting him around to, Ben Johnson did well in the press conference today. Another one of the gentlemen that was covering the press conference today, like he does, and he is the Illinois Sports Writer of the Year now, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Mark Podash. He is a writer for the Chicago Sun-Times, Bears writer. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. What's going on, Potsy? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing well. By the way, congratulations on being the Sports Writer of the Year. I don't know if I said that to you over 50,000 watts of radio. I know I said it to you personally. How do you feel about that award? Are you excited by it? Do you boast it? Do you wear it? What goes on in your life now?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm proud of it, and yeah. I appreciate it. Because in our business, I'm kind of a grinder, and I'm not the kind of guy who usually wins awards like that. So for me to win it, I think it's a nice honor. So I appreciate that. But other than that, I just like covering the Bears.
Yeah, you do. But no, seriously, congratulations.
Thank you.
It's awesome, and you are a grinder, and you do deserve it. Now, what did you think of the Ben Johnson press conference today? What did you get out of it?
I'll be honest, Mark, I'm kind of the wrong guy to talk to about this because I've been through so many of these that I'm not literally, but I am numb to everything that's said at these. So I've learned not to take anything too seriously and read too much into it. I just think to me, I feel the same way about it after the press conference as I did before. This is the best coach the Bears have had in a long while, at least better than the last two as far as credentials and more qualified, and he has the best quarterback the Bears have had. I think that's that's the reason for optimism today, not necessarily anything he said, because I've looked through all these past introductory press conferences, and you find many of the same things. Maybe he said it with a little more confidence or whatever, but until you really see it, I guess that's the point. That's probably the real point. I've been around long enough to know that until I see it on the field, I don't really believe it. But, it was impressive, but I still think his resume is and the quarterback he's inheriting are the best things he's got going for him. The Bears have going for them at this point.
Yeah, and I agree with a lot of what you said, and I've expressed some of it here. I guess specifically the things that I've expressed, having maybe not been through as many of these as you have with the Bears, but I've been through a few now, and what I've learned is that you do hear repeats from coaches that come in on day one. Things like, And I know this is probably impossible for people to believe, considering Matt Nagy never really stuck to it, nor did his offensive coordinators, whomever they were, Bill Lazor, Mark Helfrich, so on and so forth. They all did talk a good game about wanting to accentuate the talent that is on the team, that we're not going to force anything, that we're going to do, we're going to listen to the players, we're going to do what is comfortable for them, and we're not going to force the system. Nobody forced a system like Matt Nagy, as it turned out. And then, you know, Luke Getsy had some, like, early on, I think he was, like, good at, like, associating his talent with what they were good at doing, but then he wasn't. So we did hear that again today from Ben Johnson. And I just, do you believe him any more than the others, considering the resume, considering the success, that this could actually be a more balanced offense and an offense that really accentuates the skill, and particularly Caleb Williams?
Well, Mark, that was one of the few things I guess I actually got out of that the press conference I thought that was noteworthy, was that he said, basically he said kind of the opposite of Matt. And Matt Nagy didn't exactly say that, but it ended up being, you know, this is he ran the Chiefs offense, or his offense, and that was it. And it just sounds like Ben Johnson at least has an understanding that you can't really do it that way, and he's got to be able to adjust, and even claiming that it's not going to be what they did with the Lions, which is good. I mean, that shows some versatility, and just that he's open-minded and that he gets it. So I think that's a really good sign that he does that. But it still comes down to, can you rebuild that offensive line? Like, you know, I think that's the biggest thing going on, and I know it was asked about today, and pointed out that, you know, he inherited 3 first-round draft picks on the offensive line in Detroit, and he has one here, and the one is good, but not Penei Sewell. So that's going to be the biggest thing, getting into kind of on-field stuff now, even though we're just after the press conference. But I think that's going to be the biggest thing, is if everything works around that offensive line. And if he can't, I'll be honest, if he can't get that thing straightened out, I think he will struggle. I think you can run his offense without it. But his approach, I thought, was impressive. I thought that was good. Very open-minded and very understanding that he can't just do things one way or his way. And that's a good sign, because the Bears are talented, but they have a different kind of talent than the Lions did. So he's going to have to make some adjustments.
Yeah, you know, he mentioned that. Like, he, you know, paraphrasing here again, he basically said he loves the roster. I mean, he did, you know, talk subtly about the offensive line. He knows, duh. I mean, he's not stupid. The offensive line needs fixing. But he did make a point of saying that he loves what Ryan Poles has put together, and that the talent is real. And he even talked about how the Bears defense scared the hell out of him before the season started. So I guess the question is, Mark, beyond the offensive line, do you think that he looks at this roster and says, yeah, man, I can make something. I can make this thing do better, kind of like the way Jim Harbaugh did with what was a talented team with the Chargers?
Sure. I think if you look at – don't look at what the Lions are now. Look at what the Lions were when he inherited them. Compare that roster to the Bears now, and I'd argue the Bears are better. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a better receiver, much better now. Even now, he's probably not better than DJ Moore, but he's a better receiver now. But he wasn't that guy 3 years ago, and so – the Bears are, he's starting at actually a higher level skill position wise with the Bears than he was with the Lions. So you got to remember, he made a lot of those guys what they were. So I think that's really a positive thing. I think so. Yeah, I think he does. Again, it goes back, you know, the big flaw. I mean, that's the reason why the whole notion that that Caleb Williams was inheriting or entering, you know, this was the best supporting cast that a number one overall pick had ever entered, which was in general true, except for one thing, the offensive line, which, you know, should have been better, wasn't. And if it wasn't for that, it might have been, things might have worked out a little bit differently. But again, it all goes back to that offensive line. You got to fix that. But anyway, to the point, though, I think if you compare, I think it's interesting if you compare what he inherited in when he took over as the OC and with the Lions to what he has now. I think it's very favorable, with the exception of the offensive line.
Yeah.
But you fix that, and I think you can be even better, dare I say. But again, it always goes back to the quarterback.
Yeah, and what he can accomplish with him. I mean, it sounded to me, the way Ben Johnson was talking, that he's got some things in his head that he wants to improve Caleb Williams. It wasn't all just like this is the greatest guy in the world, and we know he loves his talent, but I think there's areas of despite the bad offensive line, Caleb Williams has things that he has to improve. Were you surprised? I mean, I've been kind of trying to figure it out throughout this show here, Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. Like, I know he answered the question, but like he really wanted to be with the Bears, it sounds like. And it feels like this has been going on for a while. What does it mean that he so badly wanted to have this gig? And you talked about it a little bit, but what? Why? Why do you think? Is it just Caleb, or what do you think?
I would say I think the quarterback I think was the biggest difference between if he was going to choose the Bears or the Raiders. I think that made a big difference. But you know, it just seemed like I think he pretty quickly agreed to the interview when the Bears requested, and he was being picky about that. To me, that was a sign that he really wanted it. I guess the surprising thing was that he would kind of undercut whatever leverage or his leverage by just saying it at the beginning and ending of his Zoom press conference. If that's exactly how it came out, his agents probably had to be, their headset probably had to be exploding. But it still sounds like he got the deal he wanted, so yeah. So it all worked out. But that was kind of surprising, his interest in the Bears, because I'll be honest, I think I was a little surprised. I thought he would be a little more skeptical. Especially for a guy who had so many options, he would be skeptical of the fact that, you know, four coaches before him have tried and failed and in the last 12 years. I thought he would be a guy would be wondering, you know, what's going on there. But I'll be honest, he was almost the opposite. He came in there just based on what he had seen, you know, close up, you know, having seen the Bears for the last 6 years. He came in just saying, this is the job I want.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. And not really, I don't think he didn't delve too much. It didn't seem like into investigating why it is the Bears have all this, you know, this great situation that all these coaches see, but yet never win.
Yeah, truth. It's Mark Potash of the Chicago Sun-Times. I'm Mark Grody of Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Potsy, would you like to take a couple of phone calls? Because we got a full bank of calls. The world is listening. Are you ready, Potsy? Will you do this? Will you do the honor of taking some calls with me?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I'm being told that Jeremy in Oswego is first up. What's up, Jeremy? You're on with Grody and Potash.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Great.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So first, I just want to point out that, I mean, I think I love the Ben Johnson hire. I think it was the smartest move the Bears have done in two decades, to be perfectly honest with you. I also feel like it had to happen. Like, I read back to the San Francisco game, and I remember what Shanahan was saying about Caleb. And everyone thinks it was the, hey, let's trade for Shanahan. I feel like Shanahan was trying to recruit Caleb, basically saying, hey, you don't have to live in this turmoil forever. You're a rookie. Get out of your rookie contract and come live with me, and I'll make you great.
Just get out of your rookie contract.
Let's be fair. Like, let's be fair about it. Caleb was frustrated all year. He hasn't been coached. He said he wanted to be coached. He wasn't challenged. And if we would have failed with this hire, Caleb would be gone. He would fight tooth and nail to not get out of his rookie deal to go somewhere else. And I think this saves that.
Okay.
I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah,
but that's
Yeah, I got you, man. Appreciate the call. Potsy, I mean, I think we're beyond the point where Caleb Williams would pull something like that. Even in hindsight, I got the vibe that that was not something that he would do. But what did you think? What did you think about Jared?
Yeah, he'd have to be Trey Lance bad to be able to get traded or cut on his rookie contract.
Yeah,
so
right,
I don't think that was going to happen. But I will say this: I think to the hire itself, I think Ben Johnson was the right guy and just kind of the perfect guy that they needed. We don't, at least on paper, but you know, when Ryan Poles hired Matt Eberflus, he was coming a lot on intuition. In fact, he said, as soon as he walked in the room, I knew he was the guy. And he missed on that. And that, you know, you can ask, well, what does he know now? But he's shooting so much higher. He's getting the very best guy. It's kind of hard to miss that badly with that kind of guy. So I guess what I'm saying is I think he's given himself a better chance to find somebody who can make something of Caleb Williams in getting the best guy out there, even though Ben Johnson hasn't coached a game as a head coach. So I think that's probably the biggest thing because I think you'll see a turnaround in Caleb Williams' demeanor when he gets when Ben Johnson gets a hold of him. I think all the frustration that you saw, I think a lot of that will diminish and it'll probably turn around the other way.
Yeah. And I mean, watching Caleb Williams, and he was sitting right close to me with the other players, and he just seemed to be glowing and paying attention very anxiously to what Ben Johnson had to say, and he even talked to us. And I don't even know if he would, you know, was required to do that today, but he definitely was amenable to talking to us and giving a big thumbs up to Ben Johnson for whatever it's worth. I'm going to grab another call here in a second, but Potsy, I want to run something by you that I was talking about earlier, and that is Ryan Poles, and despite this being a home run, it's a home run day for Ryan Poles and everybody at Halas Hall. But I still think that there's pressure on Ryan Poles in the next year to start trending in a good direction again, because nobody wanted to talk about the contracts being aligned. We still don't have any more intel on that. It seems to me like now... If Ben Johnson likes Ryan Poles, then Ryan Poles gets to stay. I don't know. Does it feel like that to you? Like he almost has to prove himself to the head coach. And again, personnel wise, he needs some more home runs.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of layers there that we really don't know about that we're going to find out as we go on. Like, it just already seems to me like that Ben Johnson has a little more authority roster-wise as far as guys he likes, guys he doesn't. And I think that Ryan Poles will be a little more amenable to kind of making sure that the coach is happy and the coach has the players that he wants than he was with Matt Eberflus. So I think there's a little bit of a change there. I think they're not quite one under the other, or one above the other. I think they're a little more not quite side by side, but a little bit closer as far. And then what you're seeing in a lot of GM coach relationships, I think that's a little bit different. I can't confirm that. That's just the way I was reading it today.
Sure.
But I think you're seeing that. And then we just have to wait and see how things get along. You know, John Lynch was hired after Kyle Shanahan in 2017. In fact, I think Kyle Shanahan, while he was coaching working towards the Super Bowl, kind of okayed that hire as a GM, and they worked together very well. And you're seeing that a lot too, where it's not that straight thing like the Bears say. Like I think George McCaskey said the previous press conference, you know, you have a president, a GM, and a coach. I don't think it's quite aligned as even like that in general. But maybe even the Bears are kind of joining that. I think we'll see. What I'm saying is we got to wait and see.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be exactly like your normal, the normal chart, and it can still work out. In fact, I think maybe some guys prefer that. But so we'll see. We'll wait and see how it turns out. But we don't know. I don't know anyway.
Exactly. I agree. There's no way that dynamic is exact yet. That's a work in progress, or it's just let's see how it evolves. You don't even have to call it a work in progress. It's new. Ben Johnson is the new power player in town. He is the sought-after head coach. He is here. So, I mean, that feeling out period is going to be real. And I also think that's okay. Like, I don't look at that as disorganization. I look at that as, okay, let's see what happens here. Let's see if Ben Johnson, maybe some of his advice and the tape that he sits down and watch with Ryan Poles will be valuable. It is. You're right. It's a feeling out process for everybody, and we'll see where it ends. And ideally, it'd be great. It'd be great if Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles can work together and Poles can start to hit some home runs in the draft. That's an ideal world. But I think the Bears actually did a good job today by not continuing in this case to not be forthright, or at least to share with us where the contracts are, because at this point, now that they got that guy, I don't think they have to be. Do you agree with that, or do you still think that those answers should be made transparently to us?
No, I think fans deserve to know, not so much what they're making. I think they deserve to know if there are things that can potentially kind of upset the apple cart as far as contractually. I think they should know. That's never been a big deal, knowing how long your coach's contract is for, because it doesn't mean they're going to be there for that, you know, for that amount of time, and your GM, and to see whether they're aligned. But I agree that it's not as big a deal now. It's not as big a deal. These things, they generally work. Sometimes they work out well. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they work out well for a while when a GM and coach are kind of more side by side, and then there's a power struggle, and one guy goes or the other guy goes. But at least you've had some success. I think it's rare that you see it last for a long time, but that's anywhere. It doesn't last for a long time. So I guess, frankly, as a fan, if I were a fan, I would want to know. But it's just not that big a deal. It's just, to me, it's just kind of strange that they're so protective of that. It's not like the money you're making.
No, it is. But I'm okay if the structure is a little wobbly right now that Ben Johnson is here. Let's Potsy. How about Jordan in Wrigleyville? Hello, Jordan. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I was going to say, as a PR move, I believe that they had to choose somebody like Ben Johnson. Nobody was going to be excited about Mike McCarthy. It was going to be like John Fox 2.0.
Yep.
In people's minds. So I feel like they had to choose someone. And I feel like the fact that we watched, you know, the Detroit Lions and how exciting their offense was, and we've never seemed to have that, just made him the obvious choice. So even if it doesn't work out, you know, people are still feel like that they made the right choice at the time. So I feel like, you know, they did the right thing, and they pandered to the fans a little bit. But hopefully that could all work out together.
Yeah, you are correct about that, and I guess it's true. I mean, look, if Ben Johnson doesn't work out, he'll be discarded the same way as everybody else. But there's a little bit more optimism, it feels like, Potsy.
Yeah, both of the statements at the end there, I think, are spot on. They did the right thing, which is unusual for the Bears. They don't usually do that. They don't usually do what they did. And it was, and I don't know this. I don't think they would acknowledge this, but it was also kind of a little bit of a shout out to the fans. And recognizing that they had to do something, they had to make a really popular move. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bears either, maybe tacitly, directly, whatever, understood that, and I think that's why this happened, because this was not the first part of that search, the 17 interview part of the search, that was a Bears thing, but after that, it was some other team that wins doing, you know, that's what a winning team does, is closing that deal with the best guy out there as quickly as you can before anybody else gets their hands on him, and also paying, which, you know, I don't know, I can't confirm how much he's making, but I guarantee he's making more than the average, or maybe even any first time head coach has ever gotten, and that's very unbear like too. And so I think that's just a credit to the Bears for, I guess, acknowledging that they had to do something, that this was not the time to do it for business as usual at Hal's Hall. Now we'll see how far they take that.
Yeah, how about that today when you prefaced your question to George McCaskey, and you're saying, well, you guys don't usually do this or don't usually land that guy. And George was like, thank you very much. And he took exception to your premise, but your premise is correct. I mean,
right.
when was the last time? That's why I was asking all about the I was wanting to allow these guys to give credit. Like, what did you do differently, Kevin Warren? What George was asked the question too. What did you do differently? Was it just allowing for money, allowing for resources? But, and it's funny that I understand why one would be defensive, but I don't think in that spot was enough credibility to be defensive about that.
Yeah, there were not even any finalists this time. There was no second interviews. I don't think they've done that since George Halas hired Ditka. So that's how long it's been for that. But yeah, no, they haven't done that. You know, they really stepped up, and I think you probably got to credit Kevin Warren. If you say what's different, when you ask what's different about this, well, the difference is Kevin Warren. And I'll be honest, until this moment, I was very unimpressed with the job he was doing. I've written it and said it. He was disappointing as a supposed upgrade over Ted Phillips, and we really weren't seeing that on any of the fronts he was there for. But this time, it seems like he did. It seems like his influence was very strong as far as getting the Bears kind of into the real world and acting like a winning NFL team does. And you hope this is the first step, but at least it was a positive step.
Potsy, tell you what, let's go north of the border. Let's bring in Marsha in Wisconsin. Hello, Marsha. How are you? You're on with Grody and Potsy.
Well, hi. I am a first-time caller, and I am very excited to talk to both of you. I have been a Bears fan all my life. I'm originally from Calumet City, and I tell you, that Ben Johnson, he knocked it out of the park. Mm. That was such a wonderful press conference. I haven't had this much confidence in our Bears in I don't know how long. I'm ecstatic.
What was the best part to you, Marsha? What was the part that made you be like, oh my God, that's awesome, and this is the night I'm calling the score?
Well, when he questioned what they're going to do, like some things aren't going to be acceptable, but he did it in such a nice manner. You couldn't get mad at the guy.
Right.
There was
something very cerebral in his approach as well. Personality and
not boring.
Brain. Right, not right, boring. Right, right. Personality and brain mixed in there. So,
How about when he said, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year? How will that go over in Wisconsin?
Well, I got to tell you, there's a lot of transplants up here. There's Bear Bars up here. There's
Bear Bars.
Lots of Bears fans, so they're just tired of hearing it from the Packer fans, and I don't blame them. They've got a great quarterback, but we're tired of it from the Vikings fans, too.
Hey, it's only been 32 years.
In Detroit, and they're so sorry they lost Ben. They're like, oh my God, you guys just got the best coach in the world.
Well, you got bragging rights there now, Marsha.
Yep.
So use them up as much as you can before the season starts, okay? No, I'm kidding. I am optimistic. Marsha, thank you so much for calling the score for the first time. We appreciate it.
Well, and thank you for the call. Yeah.
Absolutely. Potsy, what did you think about that? Like somebody who just never called the score before. She's so excited about Ben Johnson and probably you, quite frankly, that she called the score for the first time. But that's what these kind – like we talked about, seriously, like the PR move and needing a win and only Ben Johnson would be a win. That is example one of why this is a win for the Bears in the PR world.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I will say this. It's not that hard to get – fans excited when they hire a new coach because everything sounds so great. But this just sounds a little more like it's got a little better shot, like I said, with the coach they got, the quarterback they have, and a lot of just better talent than they've had in the past. I don't blame people for being overexcited, but man, it's got to be tough in Wisconsin because every time Bears fans think they've got it. I remember going up there, I can't remember when it was, early in the Nagy era, and just doing stories like, wow, it looks like it's finally turned, it's like 2018 and stuff like that. And then they're, you do all that stuff, and then it just, the door just slams shut. It's funny. I mentioned that his comment about Matt LaFleur, which was kind of on my bingo card of cliches that coaches say, every time, pieces are in place, get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, I didn't need that.
Your track shoes moment.
Of the presence.
So we see those. But I was, and of course, the tip of the cap to beating the Packers, at least the mention of that's also on the bingo card. But I will say this. For him to say that, knowing that in this day and age that there's going to be blowback on that, I thought that was really revealing about him, to tell you the truth, about Ben Johnson, that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
At one point, people would say that, and they wouldn't, 15, 20 years, they wouldn't realize how much the blowback would be in this era, and just it would be out of ignorance. But he knows. I mean, he's willing to say that, even if it's like the most cliche thing, referring to Bears fans, it's going for the easy cheer. year. I thought that was actually pretty good because you know that's going to come back in whenever the Bears play the Packers in 2025.
Yeah.
That will be revisited and played over and over again.
No doubt.
And he's not afraid of that. That actually told me a little bit about him.
Well, he did give credit to Matt LaFleur, though, for the trick play. So gotta give, you know, there is that, too, but they won't remember that. They'll just
The Packers fans heard is that I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
You're right. You're right. You're right. I shouldn't even have added that. Potsy, this has been fulfilling, my friend. We did everything. You and I talked. We took calls. We had a first-time caller. I feel like you and I should be doing a show someday, man. You should come on Take the North with Weeder and I. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good. Yeah, that's on my bucket list when I retire is to do that.
Oh, you're the best, man. Mark, seriously, thanks for coming on. It's been a long day for all of us, and here we are still talking Bears. So thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Yep, you got it. That is Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. Yeah, the greatest example, or I think the microcosm of, you know, Potsy was talking about how things look great coming in the door, and then all of a sudden it goes out the door and it looks terrible. Wasn't Matt Nagy's first game just a perfect microcosm of that, where things looked great and then it all went bad? That was the first game of 2018 when Matt Nagy came in and the T formation, and the Bears marched down the field behind their prize quarterback. Mitch Trubisky went up 7-0. Khalil Mack was dominant. Roquan Smith dialed up, sacks the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers eventually gets injured. The Bears are dominating the game, and then the Bears end up losing the game, and I'm not going to go through all of that, but that's the microcosm right there. I am late for a break. When I come back, I still see we still got... You want to jump in here? 312-644-6767 is the number. Also let you in on something that a little exchange I had with DJ Moore today and an exchange I had with Caleb Williams today. So we'll talk about those things as well here coming up on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Did he reach out to you Monday?
Yeah. We talked, and it was you can see the competitiveness in his eyes and the fire in his eyes, and it was really cool seeing that because it's actually the first time that we talked. I know after games, I tried to go find him and shake his hand at least after our games and things like that, and no, I think he ran off. I think he, you know, knew it was better not to probably shake my hand after the game and in those moments. But yeah, no, I'm super excited for, you know, this organization and everything to come.
Caleb Williams right there talking about his new head coach Ben Johnson, who was introduced out at Hallis Hall today. I was in Lake Forest, took in all the festivities, and we've been talking about it. Oh, and so they're in the big auditorium today, not in the usual small media room. This is a special event, big time stuff for sure. Definitely, that's where they held it, and they did a great job. The production was great, for sure. And part of the you know why? You want to know why? Because two of the people most responsible for it, they were Zarangs. I saw two Zarangs. I got to talk to two Zarangs today. They made it great. Sure, no, the whole Bears production, it was all good today. All smooth. Right after the press conference, I was sitting close to where a row of offensive players were sitting, and there was Caleb Williams, and I couldn't help but noticing. Like, he was just across the aisle from me, basically. So I'm, you know, 5 feet from him, and I'm just, and then there it was. He's got a big, that hard cast is still on his right hand. It is. It's one of them hard casts And so I just asked. I said, hey, before he had, you know, get swooped off, I said, when are you getting that thing off, man? And he said 2 days from now. And for people who are really alarmed right now, like, whoa, what are you talking about? He had a cyst removed, and he was spotted at not spotted. I mean, I think he knew he would be on camera. He was at a college basketball game, USC and Wisconsin. Everybody saw that, and there wasn't enough explanation. Then quickly there was explanation because the world was exploding because Caleb Williams has a problem with his hand. But he doesn't. He's fine, and he did tell me straight up, 2 days from now, I'm not going to see that cast anymore. And then the other one I wanted to tell you is that, wait a minute, did you say Emma's here? Where's Emma? Oh, yeah? What up, Emma? Chris Emma, 670 thescore.com.
Hey,
fellow reporter. Hey, Emma, really quick, let me finish this story about DJ Moore, because people are going to be like, no, yo, I got to hear about this story, and I'll tell you, too.
Remember, go on, please
yeah,
do.
You remember the whole thing in the locker room about DJ people giving DJ Moore crap because he said he was going to go on vacation at the end of the season? People thought that he should have been lifting weights or whatever during the offseason. Do you remember that whole, like, quote-unquote controversy?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, right. And so today, I see DJ Moore here. He's here in the worst possible weather that Chicago can provide. And so I said, you know, kind of jokingly, hoping to get a smile out of him, I said, hey, wait a minute. Whatever happened to all that vacation stuff? And he did laugh, and he did say, I've been on vacation. He was at Disneyland, and he may be back there by now. But he came back to town, Chris. DJ Moore is here. He has redeemed himself.
I mean, you love to see it too, right? Caleb, DJ Moore, you got Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, who, by the way, had a tough Monday night, as did I watching the Fighting Irish play. But all those guys showing up at House Hall to support their new coach and show presence. Those are four guys that are key parts of this team moving forward. So you love to see it.
Emma, was there any, like, I know I asked you to come on earlier. Is this just you calling in because you felt like you had a little time and you felt like calling your guy Grody? Like, what do you want, man? What are you calling for?
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time caller, long time listener. I've been listening to the whole show, so I figured I might as well call in and say hey.
Oh, you're awesome. Let me, what was your headline today in terms of Ben Johnson?
My headline was, by the way, it was kind of tying the whole search together and how they landed on Ben Johnson. The headline was how the Bears delivered on their vow. They said they had the most coveted coaching spot out there, the top spot for any coaching candidate, and they got the top guy available, the clear-cut number one choice for the Bears and for any team. And I give the Bears a ton of credit. My headline 2 weeks ago was, quote, the Bears don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. And they proved me wrong. They proved a lot of people wrong. We'll see what comes of the Ben Johnson era. But you have to feel good. Belief is warranted. Success certainly isn't guaranteed, but there's reason to be hopeful about where the Bears are going. And you've touched on it a lot and well said throughout the course of this show is you've got a bright, young offensive-minded head coach who pairs ideally with your 23-year-old quarterback, and you've got a potential pairing for many years to come. That's the recipe and formula for success in the NFL.
You know, and going back to what you were saying about the Bears not deserving the benefit of the doubt, you're actually right about it. I think both things are right here. There's enough evidence from the past of covering this team and watching this team that they didn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. So I think both things can be true. I mean, look, we all knew. We had intel. We knew the Bears were going after him. It was just a matter of whether they would actually land him. Emma, I had him on the Take the North podcast with Dan Weider. I had it at 45%. I think Dan had it at like 52 or 53%. So those of us who have covered the team, watched the team, and get it, we're a little bit skeptical. So I'm still trying to figure out, like, I mean, not only did Ben Johnson want to be here, it's becoming very clear that he's wanted to be here for a while, and he did not want anything else. It's still hard to figure out.
There's no doubt. Look, and I wrote about this tomorrow for my column at 670thescore.com. You can read it then. About Ben Johnson's importance for Ryan Poles, because the Bears elected to retain Ryan Poles for a fourth year, despite not really having the track record that earns it. He's probably in a lot of other organizations would have been fired. The Bears are taking a leap of faith in Ryan Poles, hoping that he gets a lot of things figured out. And Ben Johnson is going to be a key part of that. It sounds like he's going to have a strong say in personnel. And I'm not saying one has control or whatnot, but Ben Johnson is going to have a strong voice at the table as they go through free agency into the draft and really forming this roster. And I think that's a wonderful thing for Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles' front office is filled with a lot of guys he trusts and he believes in and he's really close with. That can be a problem sometimes. You need people who will challenge you, who will tell you that's not right. You need to look at this differently. I think that's going to be a very strong, beneficial connection for Ryan Poles to make him better as he leads this roster forward. And Ben Johnson said, look, I see all the potential with this team. He called it a sleeping giant. That sounds great. Ryan Poles, that might have been your question, and even asking Ryan Poles about Ben Johnson's belief in the roster, said, well, that's great to hear, but it's also concerning because this thing shouldn't be a sleeping giant. I'm really excited to see this pairing and the way they evaluate a roster because I think it's going to be a lot differently now with Ben Johnson joining Poles.
I mean, you're the goods, man. Thanks for calling in. I know it's been an exhausting day. I know you've been doing BBM all day. You were out at Halas Hall all day. But it's a Bears day, man. We're all going on adrenaline. You're the goods, brother. Read this man, Chris Emma, 670thescore.com. He's got some good stuff up and running right now. Read the Emma. Emma, I love you, love you, love you.
Monday, man, hey, it was a good day for the Bears. They did not have many of those. Certainly not in the last year and not in our time covering the team too often, but you feel like there's hope again with this organization. So it's a fun day. Good to share it with you. I'll see you back in, I guess, in probably a couple weeks for Coordinator Day and onward we go into this offseason.
Yes, sir. Take care. That is Chris Emma, 670thescore.com, covers the Bears and covers them well. See what happened there with my words and my language, bell to well and all of that. Yes, Emma. And by the way, you're like, wait, what's going on with the coordinators? Nothing yet, nothing. Ben Johnson did tell us that they would start to or continue working on that after we all got the hell out of there, of course. So that probably will be coming in short order. And then, yeah, they'll invite us all back out to Halas Hall, and we'll get to meet the offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, and the special teams coach. But nobody is signed yet. One fast break, and I'll see if I can get to these final two callers before we get out of here on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We are literally at the 2-minute warning, so let's do this fast. Jesse is in Des Moines. Jesse Pinkman. What's going on, Jesse?
Yeah, it's an excellent hire, but he would be better off if he had Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix or the other three rookie quarterbacks last year were probably no better or no worse. If you draft a quarterback number one in the draft, you don't expect them to be the worst quarterback in the draft that was a rookie. After 1 year, the Bears were awful in offense last year. They were 31st. I think Johnson can make Williams maybe an average quarterback, but his height, his total confusion in the pocket, his wild inaccuracy, even when people are open, like sailing the ball 15 yards over their head, I don't see it. Now, you can say I'm kind of traumatized by 40 years of bad quarterbacking, but I'm kind of tired of potential. I think Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die.
Yeah, I can't argue with anything you said right there. I mean, I do think Caleb's going to be really good, but you're right about that. Like I said, Jaden Daniels way ahead of Caleb Williams right now. Caleb can close the gap fast, hopefully, with Ben Johnson, but you're right. There were some positives for sure with Caleb. It was better than the other prospects the Bears have had recently. But, yeah, he's got things he's got to fix for sure. Can't get out of here without Wayne. Wayne, I'm sorry it has taken so long here, man. Wayne.
All right, Gertie. Hey, I've been enjoying hearing you've had a big day, buddy. You've been up there rubbing elbows with all the big shots. Then you take time to talk out to your old hillbilly buddy from Indiana, man. I'm just awful thankful for that, man. And first off, I owe George McCaskey an apology. I told him to take off his clown suit the other day and put on his big boy pants. And I apologize, Mr. McCaskey. You condemnation before investigation is the height of ignorance, and I was ignorant.
Yeah, we all are. I mean, look, hey, I don't know if you need to apologize. There's been enough bad that I think you've accrued some of that.
Hey, Grody, man, here. Yeah. I think we got the next Schottenheimer and the next next Shula. I think we got the next Shanahan. He might even be better than them, but before he's through with us, I think we got that kind of a
Wayne,
guy.
Wayne, I love you, man.
House.
Wayne, I love you. I gotta go. Sorry, buddy. You know I wanted to keep you longer, and I love hillbillies. I do. You know that about me. You know that about me, Alex. I love everybody.
Absolutely.
Thanks everybody for listening. Benjamin Albright was on NFL Insider. Knows Ben Johnson pretty well. He's in the news with him. You should check that out on the Odyssey app.
I'm going to have that on our Twitter page. You will have the Rewind app here in about 15 minutes.
Oh, and Potsy and I, man, we took calls. We talked and we took calls for a half an hour. That was hilarious. At 8, my Bears hit is at 5 o'clock. If you want to hear Lawrence and Layla and their insights and us kind of throw it around. And the Take the North podcast is up. Dan Wiederer and me perform that as much as we possibly can. But there's a new episode up, a fresh episode right now. For Alex Kuhn, for everybody who listened tonight, for everybody who called, for everybody who texts, for everybody who got in on social media, I appreciate you. I love you. Bears, I'm Mark Grody. Talk to you later on The Score.
I was there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.